This is KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food. Okay, so I always share with you an inside look at a different foodstuff each month. Today is not any different. But what is different is that I'm going to share with you a one-to-one with one of the Central Coast dignitaries and celebrities.
My name is Garrett Olson, and I'm the fire chief for the city of San Luis Obispo.
Chief Olson is an expert at playing with pizza in his wood-fired oven in his backyard. A wood-fired oven is an item that may or may not be something one would think a fire chief would have. Shouldn't he be putting out fires instead of starting them? Or is he the safest person to start that fire? We'll get the answer to that as Chief Olson shares his passion for pizza, gives me a pizza tutorial, and gives us a look into the life of a firefighter. Before we start, I want to ask you one very critical, important question.
Yes.
What is your favorite band?
So my all-time favorite band is Dave Matthews Band. I've actually seen Dave in concert, I think, 8 times now, and was lucky enough to meet him before one of the concerts, before it started backstage, which was really cool. It will always be my sentimental favorite because when our son was growing up, so our son Mitch is 23 years old, when he was growing up, Dave Matthews Band was the music that connected us together. It was music that he really liked, and it was music that I really liked. His first concert was a Dave Matthews Band concert that I took him to. If I'm on a desert island, I can only listen to one thing. It'd be Dave Matthews because it reminds me of my son.
Thank you very much for inviting me into your home, even though I invited myself, to watch you make pizza. Where does the process start with pizza?
So the process for me starts 3 days before the pizza is going to be cooked. So I do a 3-day ferment on the pizza dough. And that really is the best way to make sure that you get a nice mature flavor to the dough rather than it just being crunchy like a saltine. So I mix the dough, the yeast, a little bit of salt and water, and then I let it sit at room temperature covered for about 12 hours. And then I put it in the refrigerator for about 2.5 days. And so this pizza started the journey 3 days ago.
Wow, that's kind of a commitment. And you do that every time you want to have pizza?
I do that every time I want to make really good pizza, yeah. It's that slow fermentation in the refrigerator that really gives it some of the artisan-like feels. It has a good crunch, but it also has a good chewiness to the crumb, to the inside. And then it has a little bit more of a mature, almost nutty flavor if you were going to compare a 3-day cold ferment with a 1-day bulk ferment.
So when I make my own pizza and I make the pizza dough at 6 o'clock when I get home, put it in the warmest spot, and then roll it out at 8.
So you said one thing that made me cringe, which is roll it out, and you don't roll pizza dough. Pizza dough is a very tactile experience, and so rolling it takes away most of the structure of it, and you're not just here to watch me make pizza, you're here to make pizza. So I'm going to teach you how you can handle the dough so that instead of rolling the bubbles out of the dough to the corner, you actually use your fingers, and it's almost like you massage the bubbles to the cornicione or the crust around the outside, and that's how you get a really good crust.
Do I get to learn how to throw it in the air?
You don't have to throw it in the air to make good pizza. Sometimes you need to throw it in the air if it's cold out, and you want the weight of the pizza to act against itself and help stretch it out.
So what's next?
The fire started out back. Ideally, I like to cook my pizza when the oven is about 750 degrees, and then it'll cook in anywhere from, 90 seconds to 3 minutes, kind of depending on ambient temperature and what I have is in terms of toppings. And we're going to cook just margarita pizzas today, which to me is the most classic pizza, and we do a Napolitano style, so it's a thin crust margarita pizza.
We got the dough.
Yep.
We got the tomatoes, and we got the fire.
We've got fresh basil. Fresh buffalo mozzarella and a little bit of Parmigiano Reggiano, both torn and then grated this morning. I think the best way to differentiate between a really good pizza and a so-so pizza is just to have a small amount of ingredients and just let those ingredients balance with each other and exist in your mouth when you bite it, and you don't have anything overpowering, like a bacon or a sausage can absolutely overpower any semblance of flavor in the crust.
So the next step, you've done the bread, you've started the fire, and we'll go out and look at the fire in a second. You were working with tomatoes when I walked in, and you've got a nasty looking tomato death implement.
Yeah, I've got my hand blender. The tomatoes, I'm pretty specific about my tomatoes. So the flour, I said I'm pretty specific about that. I use a 00 Italian flour. It has just the right texture and feel, the right protein, the ability to really interact with the water and the yeast and hydrate beautifully. And for the tomatoes, again, because we're using such few ingredients, they all just have to be spot on. The tomatoes are also Italian. They're San Marzano tomatoes, or the DOP certified tomatoes grown in a specific region, or you couldn't call them San Marzano. There are California tomatoes that are lovely and great, and they'll be San Marzano style, but not San Marzano. And I've used those with great success, but for you today, I'm dialing it up a notch and we're using San Marzanos. And so they're uncooked. They're just quick blanched to have the skin come off. And so I go through and hand pick them to make sure all the skin is off and anything that's kind of tough on there. They're usually packed with a little bit of basil in there. I pull that basil out because we're going to add fresh in a little bit. We're going to pulse them a little bit so they get a little bit smooth, but I like to leave a little bit of chunk to them and add a small amount of salt for flavor, and that's it. That's all that's in there. So you can see, still has a little bit of texture to it. I'm going to reach around in there with my clean hand. There's one big chunk, so I'll get rid of that guy. A little bit of good sea salt. And our sauce is done, and I'm going to let you taste it too. They haven't been cooked yet, so they haven't mellowed, and we're gonna cook them out there, but they're going to cook in about 90 seconds out there, and they'll still retain really that garden freshness.
Exactly. This is just the tomatoes and a little bit of sea salt.
Very little
right.
bit of sea salt.
Murdered with a hand blender.
Yes.
That's really nice, because yeah. It has the little tang of the tomatoes, the acidity that tomatoes yep. have. But the thing you mentioned about commercial stuff, there's so much sugar in it. And that's because they use kind of unripe tomatoes mm-hmm. with the bitter seeds, and they put the sugar in. But these specific ones, which I've heard about before, that's not the case.
That's correct. Yeah, these just have a great flavor all on their own. It's a little bit windy today, but it looks like it's died down a little. And so we're going to try to do all of our pizza prep and cooking outside where the oven is, rather than prepping them in here and taking them outside and putting them in the oven. And then we're also going to go and check on the temperature in the pizza oven.
Okay. So there's wood in there, and there's a fire, and here's my question about the appropriateness of the fire chief having a wood-fired pizza oven in his backyard. Is this responsible?
Yes, it is. So this is a professional pizza oven. I'm super safe about it. Fire extinguisher and wet towels. But really, this pizza oven is designed for exactly what we're going to be using it for.
The leader in the newspaper this morning was that the perfect storm for fire conditions. And so what's going to prevent this fireplace from starting the next big fire?
This is a design fireplace for this purpose. It has a screen up at the top that would prevent any of the embers from traveling. And we've oriented it so that it doesn't face the wind, so that if a big gust comes up, it's really not going to have any impact on the fire or allow any of the embers to come out. And then when I'm away from the fire, when I'm inside cooking, I have the window open so I can see out here. And then I also have this door that I put in front of it. So if a log did burn and then roll off and come out of the throat of the pizza oven, it hit that and stopped. And you can see everything around it is completely non-combustible. So the countertop, the stucco side, the copper ridge on it, none of this is going to burn. And what you'll see is I started the fire in the middle of the oven just to get the floor really, really warm. And then after that gets really warm, I push it to the back, and then I'll add another log. And if you take a look underneath and look up at the roof of the pizza oven, you'll see that that log will light, and then it'll start to lick flames over the top, and that's how it actually cooks from the top down. You get both the heat of the thermal mass of the oven being hot, and then you get that flame licking up over the top of the dome and then cooking the pizza from the top down as well.
With this passion for pizza and being the fire chief, do you also have some sort of passion for fire? Is there a little bit of a pyromania in you that says, I want a wood pizza fired oven to legitimately be able to start fires all the time?
So I really differentiate between fire as an appropriate tool and fire as a public safety threat. And so there's no pyromaniac in me. My love for pizza comes from the flavor of pizza, from going to really, really good restaurants and enjoying really, really good pizza. And invariably for me, that always means a wood-fired pizza oven. This is a thermal imager, and so if we point it at something, it'll tell us the heat. So you can see that the hood above the pizza oven is 155 degrees. And so I point it at the bottom there, and you can see it's 867 degrees at the bottom. That's nice and hot, perfect. And I just push the coals back, so that'll cool a little bit. But underneath this pizza oven is about 6 inches of concrete and then a quarter inch plate of steel. All of that is now warm. Hot. This has such thermal mass, we can just continue to cook pizzas on here all day long. And I've cooked as many as 27 pizzas back to back to back, usually about two at a time.
Is your love of firefighting from your family, or did you have that in you as well?
When I was a kid, I actually wanted to be a pediatrician. So a lot of what excited me about the fire department was I love the role of the fire department. I love the mission in the community. I like helping people. And I like the medical aspect. And so I went into the fire service to be a firefighter paramedic, not just a firefighter, and was very blessed to be able to do that and spend over a decade in the field as a firefighter paramedic, helping people on their worst day. That's just a feeling that you go home every day feeling like you've made a difference, and that's lovely.
So you mentioned that you were in the Air Force, so that taught you to be brave and strong and jump right into the face of adversity. But what was it like when you fought your first fire on the front line?
Nothing like the movies. A real fire, when you're going into a house fire or a business fire, is dark, hot. You're wearing so much gear, it's almost like you can't move. Like the little kid in Christmas Story when he gets all of his stuff on, that's kind of how you feel going into a fire. But with maybe 50 to 70 pounds worth of equipment on your back. Everything's muffled. You can't see anything. It's far different. It doesn't make for good movies. And that's why when they make movies, they make them look the way they do, where you look across the room and you see the victim that you need to rescue. For us, you do a lot of stuff based on knowledge of building construction and ability to look at a house and kind of be able to read it from the outside, know where the bedrooms are going to be and the like. Technology has helped a lot. There are now devices like the gun that we're using to check the temperature of the oven is a thermal reader. Using infrared. There are now thermal imaging cameras that allow us to go into fires and be able to see through the fire using thermal imaging technology, and that's game-changing for us as well. But the first time I went in, it's a little bit scary. It's a bit exhilarating. Time goes by really, really fast, and before you know it, you're out. And you're thankful.
Do you still fight fires yourself? You got it on the front line.
Rarely do I fight fires on the front line. I do show up to be in support. And actually, if you look right there, you can see that's the hill, Cal Poly P. Just to the right of that, you can see where the fire occurred a couple weeks back. I was actually one of the first people to an area that was burning. And so I helped for a brief amount of time, put some water on the fire. But soon my firefighters showed up, told me, give me that hose, chief. And they went to work at it. So I've got great firefighters. They don't need me doing it. If I'm doing it, I'm not doing my primary job, which is helping to make sure that they're safe and well supported.
You've revealed the dough, and I imagined this bus tub being absolutely overgrown with one big blotch of dough, but that's not what we have.
No. So when I took it out of its refrigerated fermentation this morning, I cut them into 8-inch dough balls. And you can see now how, as I touch it, you can just see how delicate it is. And since your hands are clean, you can go ahead and touch it and just see how soft and silky it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like a not quite filled water balloon.
It's nice and soft. You can see the big bubbles underneath, and you can see all I'm doing with my fingertips is just pushing those bubbles out to the edges. And you don't want the bubbles to be too big. You can see that there's one right there that's looking like a balloon. That'll actually burn a little quick, and so I just popped that guy. But there's so much lovely bubble structure in here. About a 10-inch pie. You can see I can lift it up, and it has great elasticity to it, but it's so relaxed that I can just pull it and stretch it and make it into my 10-inch round pizza pie without doing any tossing or flipping or...
And that was really quick. In the time that you talked about that, you have the perfectly round piece of dough. That's the right thickness.
Yeah, and it actually goes a little bit quicker. We were kind of playing around here. And so now what I'm going to do is take my wood pizza peel. I'm going to dust it lightly with the same flour that I used to make the dough. Not too much, because I don't want to have a bunch of flour underneath it, because it'll burn a little bit more quickly. And so we got this guy. We've got our pizza dough on the pizza peel. We're just going to grab a little bit of these San Marzano tomatoes and put it on and spread it all out. You don't need a whole lot. And leave about 3/4 of an inch all the way around so that you get a nice clean cornicione all the way around it. So that's that. Let's grab a little bit of basil. So the one thing that I am a big fan of that is probably a little bit of a heresy among the true margarita pizza style pizzas, I like more basil. So a lot of times you'll see a margarita pizza might just have two or three pieces of basil on it. And I really like basil, so I add a little bit extra and you'll see. Probably going to add, I don't know, maybe like, and these are pretty big basil leaves. It'll probably be a total of about five or six basil leaves on there. And then a little buffalo mozzarella, and then a little Parmigiano Reggiano. Grab our olive oil and just place some olive oil on there.
So how long is this going to take at 867 degrees?
The right-hand side is going to cook a little bit fast. Once the bottom of it gets a little bit of a crust on it, then I can slide my pizza peel in there. And this one's actually smaller than the pizza. Spin my pizza, and I'll do that about three times just to make sure that it cooks evenly. All right, let's make some more pizza.
Okay, so all I have to do is push it with my fingers.
Yep. Just fingers together like that, and you just try and imagine that you're pushing those little bubbles out to the corners.
Okay.
You can flip it if you want to.
So, your thoughts and feelings on California's worst fire season?
It is just horrible. It is just tragic and sad. I think we're just going to continue to see this type of disastrous fire season continue as we realize the effects of climate change and of drought and of years and years and years of fire departments doing a really good job of putting out wildland fires. Really, fires are a part of California's natural environment. 400 years ago, if there was a fire here and the indigenous people were around, they wouldn't have had helicopters and air tankers. They would have moved out of the area. The fire would have moved through. It would have consumed a lot of the vegetation. It would have hardened the trees that need that. It would have killed off some of the pests or blights that affect trees. Some of our trees need fire to tell them when to spread their seeds, when to germinate. And so fire is a really, really healthy part of California's environment. We've done such a good job of putting the fires out that we've allowed more vegetation to be in our environment, more fuel to be in our environment. Now when the fire comes through with so much more fuel, it burns so much hotter. And so it actually can get to the point where it doesn't harden tree trunks and encourage trees to drop their seeds, but rather it kills trees and roars through forest fires. It's really a complex issue. It's taken us about 100 years of firefighting tactics to get to where we are now. Our tactics need to change. Our respect for the forest needs to change. We need to understand that there are passive and active things that we need to be committed to do to create a safer wildland urban environment.
Okay, is this what it's supposed to look like?
That is exactly what it's supposed to look like. That is perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
That's the most perfect circle I've ever made for pizza because I always use a rolling pin.
All right. So now we're going to add a little bit of our San Marzano tomatoes to this.
Okay. With fires as expensive as they are to put out, and in California, our reluctance to do too much to nature so we can remain natural,
mm-hmm.
Are there any preventative measures we can do to do what Smokey the Bear has been asking us to do for the last 60 years and only you can prevent forest fires?
Yeah, there are many, many things we can do. And you start with trying to decrease the opportunity for a fire to start. And there needs to be smart forestry practices. So thinning of our now artificially thick vegetation. Where do you start? You've got to start somewhere, but it really needs to be a holistic approach to better forest health and better forest management. All right, you are ready to go. So I'm going to give you a shake real quick just to make sure you're not sticking. Here we go. You are good.
Michael, let's put this pizza in the oven.
So here you go with your second pizza, straight in, because you're a professional. How long have you been working with a wood-fired oven?
So I built a wood-fired oven at our house in Mesa, Arizona, before we moved out here. So that's been about 6 years.
Well, the pizza's done. It's very melty on top. We're in America, and we normally eat pizza with our hands. But this is a little bit floppier than...
So the best thing to do is give it a fold. Give it a bit of a fold at the crust, and then the rest of it will follow.
Like in New York.
That's not bad.
I can taste, like you said, there is flavor to the dough. It is one of the ingredients. The tomatoes aren't overpowering like you do in some tomato sauces where that's all you can taste, and then all of the pork meat and beef meat that's on top of it.
Yes. And you'll really be able to get a sense of the dough when you get to the crust. You'll notice that it has a nice crunchiness to the outside, but the inside has a nice chewiness to it. I attribute that to the 3-day cold ferment, and this has a little bit more of that mature artisan bread flavor in the crust.
It is delicate. It is pizza. There's cheese, basil, tomatoes. And you're right. The simpler the foodstuff, sometimes the better. When you're watching TV and you see the guys, because it's always guys, it's never girls, in the firehouse, they'll spend a whole 12-hour shift working out and making chili. And they might get a call like once every 3 days. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, nothing could be further from the truth. So let me debunk one myth, and that is that it's all guys and not girls. I have been so blessed to work with some of the most amazing firefighters in my career, many of which have been females of all ranks. In fact, the fire chief in the community where I started my fire service career in Mesa is a woman that was a paramedic captain when I was a young firefighter there. I've seen firsthand in my work in other departments just how having females in the fire service, having a diverse fire service of all things, of people of different races and belief systems and gender, having a really diverse fire department really is one of the best ways to making sure that the service that you provide to the community is respectful of all people. And when we reflect the community, it's much more natural for us to deliver the kind of care that is familiar and comfortable to the community. So there are a lot of movies that show the guys sitting around working out all day long and then making chili and maybe washing the fire truck and petting the dog. And that's just not what happens in modern fire departments all across the United States. Because our firefighters' physical capacity and capabilities are critical to their ability to function, we do expect our firefighters, both male and female, to maintain a level of fitness throughout their entire career. It's not an option. It's a requirement that they exercise and stay in shape. And we here in the city of San Luis Obispo actually confirm the physical readiness of our firefighters every year. If you're not fit and healthy, you can't be a firefighter in this organization. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to your family. It's not fair to your brother and sister firefighters, and it's not fair to the community we serve. And then the firefighter's day is anything but sitting around making chili. Our firefighters do public education events. They do station tours. They do fire prevention inspections. So there are a lot of things that firefighters do in between emergencies to help make sure that the community is safe.
You made the joke about the wine that you serve them to drink while the pizza's getting ready, but this took no time at all. Obviously, it took a little bit more time because you've explained each and every step, but I'd imagine if I came in at the same point that you were, we would have had pizza in 10 minutes.
Yeah, and one of the things that I really like about entertaining when there's 8, 10, 20 people back here is what it does for our diet. And so often, we just eat way too fast as Americans. If we eat a little bit more slowly, we allow ourselves to have that sensation of being full earlier, so we don't find that we eat nearly as much. So when I make pizzas, I make them typically two at a time, and I always start by telling everybody that's here for a pizza party, the rule of the pizza party is as soon as two pizzas come out, everybody just grab a slice and start eating, and I'll just continue to make pizza, and I say, don't worry about me, the last pizza will be the one that I make for myself, so I'm not going to stop and eat with you, I'm just going to continue to bring out pizzas. About every 3 to 5 minutes, I'm going to bring out two more pizzas, and if you have a special request on one, let me know, and I'll make that for you. I find that people eat a lot less, and they're a lot more thoughtful about it when they eat slowly, have a glass of wine, interact with friends, and the pizzas just slowly come out over the evening.
Has anybody ever refused to eat the crust?
I think my wife is always smart enough to tell them they need to eat the crust because it is super tasty. I was a battalion chief with the Mesa Fire Department when 9/11 happened. I had just come out of a position where I, as a captain, working days instead of the 24-hour shift, I was working on that community's preparedness for major events like 9/11. And so I had worked with a lot of the agencies that were responsible for assisting with the 9/11 response, most notably the American Red Cross. In November 2001, the American Red Cross called and said, hey, the city of New York is interested in having the American Red Cross present in their emergency operations center, and we really would like somebody that speaks fire speak to represent us but understands the services that the American Red Cross provides, and would you be willing to go there and represent the American Red Cross? So I went back there in November, and I'll never forget it. It was still smoldering, and they were still recovering bodies of people that had been lost in there, and it was still very, very, very active and real. Not a touristy thing, but really a hallowed ground. I'll never forget that feeling. And the amazing response of the people of New York, it was just, their resilience is just unsurpassed.
So these are the last two, And then you're going to take me in and teach me how to package it for breakfast the next morning.
Yes, yes. Breakfast the next morning or lunch or dinner the next day. And there is a really easy way of reheating pizza so that it is almost as good the next day as it was coming out of the pizza oven.
There's another perfect pizza.
So my dad's a fire chief, retired fire chief, and my wife's dad was also a firefighter, and my wife's dad and my dad actually worked together in the Long Beach Fire Department before I was born. It's a really kind of funny story that when my mom's water broke with me and she called the fire station to tell my dad that she was going into labor, it was my future father-in-law that answered the phone and took that message. And my wife and I grew up in the same fire department, the Long Beach Fire Department, as children of Long Beach firefighters. I remember going to the same events and parties and, you know, kids events and that kind of stuff. And then lost touch, weren't really good friends as kids, but then re-met as adults while I was on leave from the Air Force and she was on spring break from teaching elementary school, and hit it off, and about an hour into the conversation realized that our paths had crossed about 20 years prior to that. So it was a really fun experience.
You said you had this special way of packaging pizza for the next day where I just throw it in the fridge. So what do you do?
So I put the pizza in a Ziploc baggie because I don't want it to dry out, and the refrigerator will dry it out a lot. And then the next day, and it's actually a trick my mom taught me, is nothing but a nonstick skillet on medium heat over the stove. Put your pizza in there, a medium heat, medium low heat, and then just wait until it starts to bubble on top and you are good to go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As your radio listeners can see, I've got the pizza in the nonstick skillet. I just put it over a medium heat with no lid on top. There's still enough moisture in the pizza for it to heat and still have some texture to it. It doesn't get really, really brittle. And if you put a lid on top of it now, thinking that that's going to help keep the heat in there and warm up the top early, you're actually going to steam your pizza, so you don't want to do that. So uncovered, nonstick skillet, medium to medium low heat.
Okay, cool. And so do you eat cold pizza for breakfast?
It is so easy to reheat pizza, and I think it tastes a lot better when it's reheated, that I typically don't have cold pizza for breakfast, but I'll have warm pizza for breakfast.
You don't like the congealed cheese when it comes out of the refrigerator?
I'm not against it, but it is not my preference. So you'll see here in just a second, it'll just start to bubble around the edges, and we get to go. If this was 24 hours from now and you put them side by side, you might be hard-pressed to tell which was the fresh and which was the one you reheated.
It is starting to bubble on the top. One of the pieces is starting to bubble on the top. The cheese on the edge is starting to run into the pan. And so, you know, mission accomplished. Wow. That's reheated pizza, reheated in a pan on the stove. And you're challenging me to find out whether or not it is just as good as it was before. Ow! It's hot!
Yep.
I actually think it's slightly better because even though the basil's cooked, the longer contact time has brought out more basil flavor.
Yeah, and you'll find that with a lot of Italian foods. My favorite way to eat lasagna is the day after it's cooked. It's not uncommon that things will mature as they rest and be even more flavorful. And that kind of goes back to the whole where we started with the dough, of letting it sit in the refrigerator for 2.5 days with the yeast chewing on it and chewing on those proteins. I believe that's very similar to what you're experiencing now. It just gives more opportunity for that flavor to be really pungent in a good way.
Chief Olson gave me an entire pizza in a Ziploc bag, and now it's the next morning. Let's try his reheating method. I'm sorry, Garrett. I just don't have the patience to heat up this pizza, and as you know, I love cold pizza. But I must say, it is the absolute best cold pizza I've ever had. And you know why? Because the meticulous care and attention to detail that went into making this pizza made it the best pizza I've ever had. So hot or cold, Garrett, it's fantastic. Thank you very much. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.